Up, everybody. Welcome to episode number 72 of the Unknown Games Podcast. I am your host, Adrian, aka Ninja Tricks, and I'm here as always with my homie, my friend, my co-host, Alex the Game Duck.
Hey, what's up? I'm the Game Duck. Quack.
That's quack.
Ducks do, right? Yeah, okay.
That's what they do. Did you end up watching Mighty Ducks?
No, I didn't. I watched Zoolander.
Wait, Zoolander? Yeah. I mean, I guess that has ducks in it, right?
Does it?
I don't know. I've actually never seen Zoolander.
It has David Bowie in it. You've never seen Zoolander?
I know, no. I've seen like bits and pieces of it, but I've never seen the actual Zoolander. I've never seen it full.
You've never seen Zoolander?
Who's a Ben Stiller fan?
Okay, you need to just, that's like a cult classic right now. You probably just, hey guys, thanks for watching. The podcast has been a lot of fun. We're ending early this week so Adrian can go and watch Zoolander.
It's like, it's all my fault.
Can't we? You've never seen Zoolander before.
I've never seen Zoolander. I've seen it. It's been on so many reruns.
Watch it.
All right. Is it really that necessary?
It's really funny.
Remember is Ben Stiller in like some zebra pants or something.
Sure.
Or a zebra shirt or something. I remember something zebras.
No, all right? I mean the whole movie. The movie is timeless. I think it's the whole. So I watched it. The movie came out in 2001. So
that movie is a 2000 movie.
That movie came out 20 years ago. Holy shit! Oh my god. Anyways, so that movie came out in 2001, and I watched it. You know, I watched it again actually last night for Valentine's Day, and it still holds up. It's still funny. It's still good. The jokes still hold, really good.
Yeah. It still holds up. I guess that we're gonna. So as always, I gotta say thank you to everyone here, of course, who's on YouTube watching. Feel free to jump in the chat and just, you know, say what you're feeling, as long as you're not gonna say like, I hope that you all just disappear. You know, just show us some love.
Are you expecting that or something? Has that ever happened to you?
No, but after playing Doki Doki, my mind is on so many.
Yeah, you're terrified? You're terrified of women now, right? You're probably never going to talk to a girl again in your life.
If I ever find myself with Monica, I know what not to do.
Yeah.
I know what it's not
funny.
To do.
That's funny.
So, thanks everyone for joining here. And if you're listening to the audio version, thanks for always listening. And we hope that you do, if you are able to hop into the YouTube when we record, it's like 8:30 p.m. ish in Japan, so that means in the West it's early.
Know. Well, it depends on your time. I don't know what would it be for California.
California, it's like
3:30 in the morning or something like that.
Yeah, it's like 4 a.m. three or 4 in the morning.
Like yeah.
Just come on down. But if you're in, I think like Europe or Australia or something like that, maybe
it's a much better time. Yeah,
it's a little bit better time zone for you. Yeah. And as always, be sure to check out our streams. We both stream on Twitch, so you can follow my co-host Root 24 mm-hmm. on Twitch at exactly what I just said.
324,
And you can follow myself at Ninja Tricks. So we're both playing some awesome games, and we're gonna go ahead and get on into the show right now. We're gonna talk about a couple things this episode. Number one, we had a huge earthquake here in Japan, so we're gonna
it's
go over...
like number one video games earthquake.
Yeah, we got video games and earthquakes, and then we've got the news to kind of round everything out. So first off, we're going to talk about, you know, Valentine's Day was a thing, but I think overshadowing that was the great St. Valentine's Day wrath quake.
Yeah, well, that was technically on the 13th of February. That was on Saturday night at like 11:30 or something. I know you were
so close
at the time. So if you want to check out what was happening during Adrian's stream, go ahead and check out his Twitch channel. I think he might have clipped it or something like that. But that was wild. I remember I was playing Phasma actually at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's the thing about Japan, living in Japan or really any other, at this part of the world, is that earthquakes happen fairly frequently. And most of the time, it would just be like, oh, it's an earthquake. I'm going to just sit for a bit. It'll be gone in a bit. They happen, honestly, fairly frequently.
Fairly often.
Yeah. You know, I tell people back home, I'm like, oh, earthquake. And they're like, are you okay? Are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, it's just an earthquake, dude. Relax.
It's just an earthquake. People freak out because, like, you don't know. every time you've seen an earthquake on any sort of media, it's always a big one. You know what I mean? Like, it always seems to be something huge. So
yeah. So I tell people back home, or I would be playing like Apex or something, and I'm like, oh, earthquake. And they're like, are you fine? I'm like, yeah, it's just, you know, like, I'll be fine. But for this one, so I was playing Phasmo, and I was like, oh, earthquake. And then it started out, you know, like most earthquakes do, but it got like very, what's the word? Strong, I guess.
it got strong. It got
very
strong.
Strong.
It got strong.
And then I had to be like, hold on, you guys. I'm going to step outside, like in the game. I'm going to step outside and I'm going to try to sort this out right now. So just for, I don't know how to, just
I'm,
to let
I'm,
you.
I'm going
to
pull it up on the screen just so people can kind of see it. Just
yeah.
Just look at my screen on the backside over there and you'll see it kind of shaking. But I know what Root's talking about, because what it starts out, and the only way, because we've both been through the kind of big earthquake, was it in 2010?
That was 2012, March 11th, yeah.
We were both here for that, so we know, like, what the bigger one feels like, and typically, it stops after, what, like, 4 seconds? It's a little bit of side to side.
I would say, like, a long earthquake is, like, 15 to 20 to 30 seconds or something like that.
Yeah, and this clip is the whole 30 seconds almost of the clip.
It got really crazy.
And I was just like, okay, and, you know, I'm just like, I'm like, okay, I'm okay, it's fine, I'm okay. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, I'm like,
yeah,
it's still going. Oh, it's, snap!
It was
spider
strong.
Sense is going off. Like,
yeah,
crap.
So yeah, I'm watching your clip here. You're it's really shaking. Wait, I think it looks worse than it is, because your
monitor
webcam,
because
your webcam is mounted on your monitor. So as your monitor is shaking, it makes it look like really really bad.
That's what I was trying to tell people. I was like, it was bad, but
it wasn't that bad.
That bad.
Anyway, so yeah, so it was here. I was playing Phasmo, and I was like, can you guys give me a second? I gotta go deal with this. So, so there's a light behind me. Hold on, my head's in the way. But this light on my bookshelf here that I use for ambient lighting, that just fell over. Like, that just straight up.
wait, the whole shelf?
Well, no, the ambient light.
Oh, okay, the light fell.
The
okay,
light
okay.
fell over. I have a bit of an energy drink problem. So I have a lot of energy drinks. Yeah. So I have like empty cans were just spilling all over my floor here. Anyway, so I went to the kitchen to go like talk to my girlfriend to be like, you know, are you fine and everything like that. And we have a microwave on top of basically not a microwave stand. We put our microwave on a little bit of, I don't know how to call it. It's like a cart it's like a bundetsu cart. So you have like just your garbage separation kind of containers in there. And it's like a little cart thing. So we put our microwave on top of that because we're too cheap to buy.
Okay. Now I'm starting to see a better image. I was like, how did your microwave almost
fall over? Yeah. So we put our microwave on this bundetsu, this garbage sorting cart thing. And so it's top heavy. It's not really meant to carry a microwave. Mm-hmm. And that straight up just like was falling over, and we had to go and like catch it. It was crazy. It was the strongest earthquake I felt in probably a while. Yeah, 9 years.
Since then. I mean, the thing is I always have this thought when I compare earthquakes in my head, when I'm like, oh, okay, is it going to get bad? Is this okay? You know, the one thing I remember about that big earthquake 10 years ago or whatever was that it was moving like, and I don't describe it too well, but I say it's like moving up and down. Like, it started out moving side to side, and then it started actually rumbling. Like, I just remember, because I was on the ground floor, and like, I just remember it almost like your controller vibrating almost. Like, it was just like.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that earthquake as well. Obviously, I was, you know, in Japan for it. I just remember I was in my dorm at the time, I was living in the student dorm, and I was like, oh, earthquake, yeah, no prob. And then it just like was getting super fucking strong, and it wasn't ending. It was long.
It was like a minute or so.
Yeah,
it was so long
and so strong. And I'm like, okay, this is legit. And then I ran to my neighbor's room, and I knock on his door. He like rips the door open, and then he looks at me and he's like, fucking hell. And I'm like, oh man, what do we do?
Because it was so crazy. Because like I just remember me and my friend, we were playing Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Like we were in it. We were in the thick of it. And then like all of a sudden, you know, it's an earthquake, and we're like, okay, whatever. And then it got real, and I'm just like, okay, maybe we need to get underneath the table. We were both in the student dorms as well, and we get under the table, and my mind was thinking, holy crap, my PlayStation 3 is going to fall over. So I get up, I go up to like the top of the counter, put my PlayStation 5 like horizontally on my, or my PlayStation 3 at the time, sorry. I put it horizontally on my
PS5, yeah. time travel right here.
So I put it down and I'm like, okay, it's good. Now I go back underneath the table. And similar, for some reason, this time with the earthquake, I'm looking at my fears on top of my monitor or on top of my desktop. Mm-hmm, and I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, Miku, don't fall. Miku, wait, let me hold on to that. Hold on. Let me go underneath it. It is the most perplexing thing. Why am I trying to save a figure?
Yeah, I don't know. So that was fun. That was crazy. So, well, I don't want to say fun. It's pretty disrespectful to the people that it actually affected. So 156 people were injured.
Ooh, I didn't look at the numbers.
Yeah, epicenter was Fukushima, which is pretty unfortunate. But,
again, like there's, Fukushima's kind of recovered.
Yeah, so apparently the earthquake on Saturday was actually an aftershock of the March 11th earthquake from 2010.
What? But there was another huge earthquake that happened last week or something that was like in the middle ocean, but that was kind of close.
I don't know.
Close enough to Japan to warrant like potential tsunami warnings.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I thought it was like a effect of that thing, but it's the same fault.
They say apparently it was an aftershock of an earthquake from 10 years ago. The earthquake was so strong. Did you know that earthquake, by the way, from 2010 was so strong it changed the duration of our day?
Huh?
Yeah.
The duration of our day got longer? Shorter?
I think like what sped it up. Let me double check. March 11th earthquake.
That's pretty insane. I mean, like, and I don't know if for you.
Yeah, apparently it shortened
the day.
Our day. Yeah. The earthquake was so strong, it shortened our day. Not by a lot. Granted, it's
I'm over
a
here
lot.
Thinking like a whole hour is just gone from the day. Like, oh, man.
It shortened our day by 1.8 microseconds, which I realize, you know, that's not like
it's not a lot. That's very.
Yeah, we don't like we can't like perceive that, but apparently, like it did actually like it that, messed with the rotation just enough to change our day length.
That's insane. I mean, yeah. I don't know how it was for you. Did you leave right after the big earthquake? Like
leave Japan or what do you mean?
So like for me, like when I was studying abroad, right? Like when it hit a lot of foreign governments, I know like China and France,
home,
like they said, go home, GTFO. Because
yeah.
there was the situation with the nuclear power plant and everything.
Right,
and,
right.
Did you end up going home immediately or
immediately. I kind of had to fight with my study abroad program back home. Mm-hmm. Cause a lot of schools just around the world were pulling out. Cause I went to an international like university basically. And a lot of people from different, universities were all studying there.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, people were leaving immediately. And then my school was there for a bit. Okay. And we kind of had to fight for a bit. They called like a meeting. And we all the students in Japan. So I went to one school in Tokyo. There was like one person in like Hokkaido. Someone else went to like one in like Fukuoka or something like that. But other parts of the world, right? Or not world, sorry, Japan. And we all had to fight. We had to be like, look, we don't live in Fukushima. Like we're not anywhere near the power plant. We have power. We have food. It's all good. Like we promise it's all good. We don't need to go home.
Right, right.
But eventually our school didn't feel comfortable enough. And then after, I believe, like a month of letting us just sit in Japan.
Oh, wow.
They pulled us back home. They told us to go home, like paid for our flight and everything. And then we had like another meeting at our uni to discuss what was going on. We laid our same cases. Like one girl was like, we don't live in Tokyo.
Right, right.
And I was like, I live in Tokyo, but like, what's, you know, I'm on the outskirts. I'm basically like
in Saitama or something, like
Yamanashi,
like Eastern
like,
or something.
I'm basically like Yamanashi at that point, like really far. You know, right. We have power, we have food. There's no, like, we're totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
But our school was just like, no, you're not. Like, we're canceling. So I basically, they ended my program early. And then I basically just had the rest. I had a very long summer,
The
essentially.
long summer, like, because the thing was, is for Japan, that happened in the middle. Well, no, right before the new semester would have begun in
That was right
April.
before,
It
that
was
was right before
right
the
before.
April
So
semester, right.
for, in other countries, we might stop school in May and then have summer vacation. And my school didn't say much of anything because I was the only one from my school at my university. And there weren't too many other people in Japan, but it was just a situation where I was like, okay, I've never been through any type of big crisis like this in my life. I don't know what to do. And all of us, in my dorm, we had like seven other roommates in the share house from different countries. And I'll never forget, we that night there was nothing to eat. All the food was gone off of the convenience store shelves. The supermarkets were cleared out. It was like there was nothing. And because we had those rolling blackouts, and I think like there were rolling blackouts, so different parts of Tokyo had to have their lights off during certain time of the day, and then
To
at
like
night.
to direct power to certain parts of the country that needed it.
And then at night, I think there was a curfew for all lights. So like lights on the outside. You think COVID is crazy? That was, I mean, it was crazy because no one was outside at all. It was a ghost town, and the lights were off. Shibuya had like nothing on at all. It was creepy, and it was just really eerie. And there were so many small aftershocks, like
Oh
earthquakes.
my God,
After that, like I never stopped shaking.
the aftershocks went on for so long after, like a couple a day for what felt like weeks actually after that.
And because it got to the point where I would lay down and I thought I was shaking, even though I wasn't, and it just kept feeling like that. So I ended up leaving probably about 2, 3 weeks later, because the government was so wishy-washy about, hey, has this nuclear power plant melted down or something? Is it okay? And TV's just like, oh, the government's like, hey, it's all good, don't worry about it. I called the US Embassy, and the US Embassy was like, just listen to the Japanese government. The very next day, they're like, all US military personnel, please evacuate from Japan. I'm like, oh, well, I guess y'all got some other orders.
So yeah, you left then. Did you left of your own accord, or did your school pull you out?
I left on my own accord. Yeah, I bought a plane ticket, and then there was nothing. I didn't have to completely fight to get back because I left all of my stuff kind of on purpose. I just left it all here in Japan, and I was like, well, I got to at least go back and get my stuff, right? Or we can wait and see how it goes, because the schools didn't shut down or anything here in Japan. So I came back in, I guess, was it like late April,
Did you finish your
early May?
semester?
And I finished the semester, yeah. So that was crazy, because literally the day after I left Alabama, there was a huge tornado that came and just devastated my college town.
That's hilarious. Yeah, your disaster follows you
Oh
everywhere.
yeah, it followed me, and I was like, oh my goodness. So
So yeah, that was, I mean, man, now that I think about it, I know now in 2020 we're dealing with COVID, 2021 we're dealing with COVID and the pandemic and everything, but now that I'm really thinking about it again, for at least for us in Japan, 2010 was a pretty wild year. Now that
Was
I'm really,
a wild year.
now that I'm remembering it again. So I had the same experience with you actually. So the night of the earthquake, I went to grab food. I went to the convenience store, and there was like nothing. There was like nothing.
There's nothing, nothing.
Barren,
I
like
mean,
completely barren
nothing.
shelves. Yeah, for days, there's no rice, no
Milk,
noodles, no
eggs, no
water.
cup noodles, none of that. Everything's gone. I had potato chips and wine one night.
Yeah,
Like,
did I tell this story on the podcast, or
I don't.
did I tell this story on one of my streams? But
I don't think it was here.
might have been on one of my streams, but the night of the earthquake, I went to the convenience store to grab food, and everything was sold out. All the bread, all the sandwiches, all the onigiri, all everything was gone, right? So for dinner that night, I had a cake, like a Mont Blanc, and a highball. because that's all that I could get. Like, that's all that I could get from the
That
convenience
was
store.
the best part. Like, it was all you
Everything was
could get
gone.
at that point. It was just like, I don't even have a choice. Like, I'm just eating whatever junk food, whatever I could find. I was just like, I'll take it.
No, but and then I remember the NTT made pretty much for a limited time, they made like all phone calls free so that
Because
you
people
could,
were trying to get in touch with.
people trying to get in touch back home, they're trying to call their family, all that kind of stuff. for at least like 2-3 days after the earthquake, like there was no phone service countrywide. It was, I couldn't even, so we had a friend, because that actually hit in one of our semester breaks, actually, right? It was
mid-semester break.
So one of our friends from the dorm was traveling. He took the Shinkansen and was just like going around the city, or country rather. And he was gone. He was in a different part of the country. Earthquake hit, and we couldn't get in touch with him for days because all the phones were, there was no mobile service.
And I mean,
for days.
The crazier thing is, like, back then it was fairly common in Japan. Like, things were still, for the most part, like flip phones.
Yeah,
here it wasn't in Japan, like, it was still like flip phones too.
It wasn't like smartphones. They were called Gatake.
Yeah,
clamshell phones, but like, they were kind of smart. They had basic mobile, like pretty decent browser, really basic apps, essentially. Not quite smartphones, but still GPS maps and all that kind of stuff. But we, you know, our friend was traveling and we couldn't get in touch with him for, I think, a week, actually. And we were like, we don't know where he is. We don't know, like, none of us even got his, like, itinerary. Like, we couldn't contact him on his phone. This is before the days of smartphones and Facebook and Line and all that kind of stuff. Well, Facebook.
I think
was
I used Skype.
Facebook was
but
around.
Yeah, Facebook didn't have Messenger, like.
But like not
talking.
Yeah, not like not yeah. like Messenger.
Yeah,
not
you can
like
call on Messenger.
Yeah, not like on your phone really per se. So this was before the era of like really easy contact, right? He shows up at the dorm finally, like a week and a half later or 2 weeks later. He finally comes back to the dorm and we're just like, what happened? And he's like, man, it's crazy. I had to stay in a train station for days.
That was
like,
a thing. Oh, he was, I like, forgot people.
Yeah. He was like emergency evacuated to a train station for like a couple of days. He had to sleep in a train station. He got rations, like they gave him like emergency rations to.
There was a whole thing where people were just trapped at this like JR train station or any just train stations in general. Like
camping,
they could not.
Yeah, they were camped either, in there, right?
Yeah, either you walked back to your city, you did a journey, you just took a journey back home or something, or you stayed there and tried to get in touch because everyone was trying to use those phones too. Those the green public pay phones. I think those were some of the things people were using.
Yeah, I think
calls.
Those were free for a little bit as well.
Yeah, yeah. So,
but yeah, he wasn't at like a city. He was in like one of the bigger like Shinkansen stations where he was like straight up like sheltered. Like he was put in shelter there.
Oh yeah, maybe Shinagawa or something. I mean, those are.
No, it was like northern Japan or something.
Oh, northern Japan. Okay.
It was like northern Japan.
Oh man, you're supposed to go to your. I think in these cases, you're supposed to go to your local junior high school or high school.
Well, it's like a high school or a park or something like that.
Or
a
park
for evacuation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you've ever seen any kind of disaster movie in Japan or played a disaster game, usually they turn a high school or something into an evac center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the so high school gym.
Gym. Exactly. It's like a high school gym. Then they hand out food and blankets.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of just shelter in place there for however long it takes for you to basically, until it's safe to go back home, basically.
Right, right. And one other thing we didn't talk about is that a lot, the buildings here in Japan are built to withstand
earthquakes.
So you essentially, the buildings, the structures will kind of sway in a certain way. Mm-hmm. The higher you are,
the worse it
feels, no matter what. Like for me, I'm on the ground floor, so I don't feel it as bad as so. I don't sway as much, but if the building does collapse, it all comes on me. So
grim. This is grim. But during the March 11th earthquake 10 years ago, I saw news footage where there was an apartment. I don't know where it was in Japan, but basically it was a multi-story apartment, and it pancaked, and like the third or fourth floor got crushed, but like all the other floors were fine.
Why the third?
So it just like collapsed in on itself. Yeah. So the people on whatever floor died basically instantly.
Oh,
but that's like but everyone else was fine.
You can't really do much about the earthquakes. Like there is one. This thought goes through my mind sometimes because I'm from Alabama and I get a lot of tornadoes. There's tornado season in the fall and sometimes even in the winter they pop up. And the thing with a tornado is it can pop up at any time during that storm, and it's not like it was always on the ground. It's coming towards you. Sometimes it can just spawn on you. It's like a random spawn,
like video game spawn longer. Yeah, okay.
It just spawned on you. You're like, what the heck? And you know, there's like a whole atmosphere with it. There's sirens that are going off. the wind itself, the people say that a tornado sounds like a train when it's coming towards you.
Oh, really?
There's also the fact that, you know, there's thundering and lightning. But you, the only place you can really go, or either you have a storm shelter, a basement, or your bathtub, or whatever room you have.
Why the bathtub?
So the bathtub is meant to it protects you on all the sides except for the top, of course. So, and it's also more than likely where there's the least amount of glass. There's going to be you're going to have a mirror in your bathroom, but sure. It's not next to the window, because the first thing that's going to happen is the window is going to just
will break
right, and glass right. will shatter in. But you can kind of just duck down into it like a pillbox and just cover your head.
Yeah. So here's the thing about where I'm from is that we don't really have a lot of natural disasters. No earthquakes, no floods. Mm-hmm. I guess tornadoes sometime, but we don't get tornado training, really.
Okay.
So I'm pretty inexperienced when it comes to any kind of natural disaster prevention. So moving to Japan, I had to be like, oh, make sure you open your window and a door when an earthquake hits, and make sure you hide under a table or something. And I didn't know why you would need to open a door before an earthquake or during an earthquake, but it's because if your door is closed and your building shifts, your frame could shift and then it could trap you inside.
Oh, I never thought of that. I guess I should have just opened my glass door over there, just open yeah. that window first. Yeah, I mean, because for us, and we did the training here in school too, in Japan, for earthquake drills, and it's pretty much the exact same as a U.S. Tornado drill, minus kids going out into the hallway and lining up. But you have to put your head, you know, you go into the desk and you put your hands over your head like this, and, you know, to protect your skull. But it was pretty much the same. So I was like, okay, well, this is familiar. But yeah, if you are in any sort of natural disaster, if you want to share your stories, you know, you can always write in, or not write in, but what I'm trying to say, send us a voicemail.
Sure.
anchor.fm/UGPcast. Click on that one link that's like send voicemail. Yeah. Let us know your survival stories.
you want to talk about video games now or what?
Sure. Let's talk about video games.
Yeah,
video games. Yeah. It's like the new name.
That was like longer than I expected. We could probably just end the episode here.
We could end the episode right there. Yeah, but I can't because Monica won't let me. I have to speak about Monica. But what have you been playing? I know you've been playing.
I'm still playing. Yeah, Trails. I'm almost done. I'm on the last chapter. I basically only play when I stream.
Mm-hmm.
And I got underleveled basically somehow. So last Tuesday when I was playing, the last couple boss fights I've been doing on stream have been like really hard.
Because I'm underleveled.
But now maybe I'm in a better spot. I did a little bit of off stream grinding before my last stream on Thursday. Things are okay, better, like a little better now.
Okay.
But I'm almost done. I'm on the last chapter of Trails. And then after that, like I could go on to the second chapter, like the second game in the trilogy.
How many games are in the trilogy? It's like four,
so,
six or something?
For Trails in the Sky, which is what I'm playing now, there's three.
Okay.
And then after Trails in the Sky, in the same universe with a different protagonist, in a different part of the world, is Trails of Zero and Trails of Blue. Like, it's not translated, but it's like Ao no Kisaki and then Zero no Kisaki.
Okay.
And then that's like a different protagonists and everything. And then after that is Trails of Cold Steel, which a lot of people now are familiar
now
with.
Now familiar those with.
Those are the newer ones.
The newer ones.
So there's Trails of Cold Steel 1, 2, 3, 4. And then in Japan, there's Hajimari no Kisaki. And then there's so many. There's like 10 games or something like that. Yeah.
I mean, the series has been going on for quite a while in terms of Japan. But, you know, like you said, most people know the series from
Cold Steel.
That was Vita, if I remember, like 2000
yeah,
or something.
PS3 Vita? And Vita. Yeah.
And Vita. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I could go on to the other Trails game, Trails in the Sky, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, there's a ton of games that I really want to get to, because that's the thing. I think once I started streaming, I started to, like, look at games and then be like, that would be fun to play on stream, or whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh, what do I do now? Like, do I want to do Ace Attorney? Do I want to play Zero Escape? Do I want to do Yakuza? Do I want to do Chrono Trigger or Chrono Cross? Or you know, like an RPG like that, like Dragon Quest or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm not sure.
It is something like, and I think about that now when I buy games too.
Would this be fun to play on stream?
Would this be fun to play on stream? Because typically, like, I don't play single player games that much outside of streaming, and it's really become this time where okay, I can get back to playing single player games, and it's just one of those things. I didn't know what to play for Valentine's Day.
So you picked like Doki Doki Literature Club, which is probably a terrible choice, I would say. But
it's a great choice. It's a great choice. Okay, it's all about. Yeah. I got four different girls to just tell me how much they love me in their own way. But I mean, for Doki Doki, and it was actually recommended to me from someone in the chat, and I was just like, "What the heck is this game?" I didn't know about it. It's like five years old.
You went in pretty blind then, right?
I went in completely blind. Other than people saying like, "Oh man, it's gonna traumatize you," I'm like, "School days already did that. It can't be worse."
I'm good. Yeah, I'm tempered already. You can't mess me up anymore. Yep. Yeah. Okay.
So I'm there. I'm playing it, and honestly, I had fun. This is the first visual novel I've ever played. First visual novel
really?
Game.
That's your first one?
This is the first one.
Oh, wow.
And I got to say, I had a lot of fun. It was a lot of reading, so I wasn't used to reading out loud that much on stream.
On stream, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I thought it was going to be kind of crazy. There was one moment I was like, oh, snap. I knew that was going to happen, but I didn't know it was going to happen like that. And it like was a jump scare for me for a little bit. And I gotta say, if you haven't played it, definitely go check out some Doki Doki Literature Club. It's free. That's one of the main points.
Right, it's free, yeah.
It's free. It's like 6 hours. The game does have a couple of different endings. It kind of restarts itself. And I don't want to give away any of the plots, but, all the girls were fine. I didn't get to interact with...
They're all fine.
Okay. Yeah, they're all fine. They're all fine. Yeah. Monica is...
The best, yeah.
No, girl, I didn't like Monica from the beginning, so that's me. I always liked, I was a Sayori or Natsuki fan. I don't know if you played the game, but
I actually haven't.
You should.
I mean, I'll get to. But here's the thing, though. Like, I already know that the game is messed up, and I've already seen
but
like.
You don't know.
I've already seen like homages to the game. Like, I've already seen like references and memes about it. So I'm like, I don't know. I've seen jump scares, not jump scares per se, but I've seen people play it. I've seen clips of the game, so I feel like the full effect would be lost on me.
Yeah. I mean, there was one moment, and this is where I got kind of like, what made me kind of really enjoy the game, because before it was just like, okay, oh, wow, that got dark. Yeah. Okay, I'm expecting this. And then, because I don't want to ruin it for anyone who might go and play it after this, but the ending of that game was actually made everything worth it, just the things that you have to do. Or the game expects you to do. It does a fourth wall thing.
A lot of fourth wall breaking. Yeah.
And it really felt like I was back in Undertale for a little bit, like a demented version. I felt like Monica, Flowery and her would be a great couple. It's evil.
All right, whatever, sure, okay.
Hey, look, they're both, Flowery, messing with my life too. I'm just saying. All right.
But so you're playing that.
I played Doki Doki. Finished that.
Yeah,
cool. That was good.
Yeah.
And now it's back to just the normal... set of games. I did end up buying Ni no Kuni.
Oh, two. Why?
No. One. No, the first one. I already had it on PS3, and then I just wanted to kind of maybe one day go through it on Steam and, on stream and finally actually play, because I always wanted to play. I wanted to play it way back when it came out the first time.
Oh, right. Okay.
And then it came out when it was on DS. There we go. On DS. I forgot about the DS version. Mm-hmm. With the magic book and everything.
Right.
But yeah, I bought that. And then I bought this game called like Rabi Rabi.
Why'd you buy that? No, I know what you're, I know what you're talking. Yeah, it's pretty cheap. It actually honestly looks kind of, fun. So yeah.
No, it looks solid. But he's asking like, why'd you buy this? Because it's a game with girls in bunny girl outfits.
I know. I mean, the game. It's
a Metroidvania bullet hell.
It looks all right. Yeah.
The bullet hell and the Metroidvania part got me. Look, I'm just gonna go from Doki Doki to Rabi Rabi.
Sure, that's fine. I mean, it's a bit of a change of pace. That's fine.
It's like it doesn't seem like it. Well, you know what you can do though. Next month, Kingdom Hearts, stream it all.
I don't think I will.
Stream it all. It's gonna be on Epic Game Store March 30th. All the collection at full price, unfortunately, but hey,
I mean, I know a lot of people are giving Square and Epic shit for pricing the games like that.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not like that's justified or what, I still, like, regardless, I think it's a pretty good price just for the amount of games you're getting.
For the amount of games you're getting, you're still getting, like, two or three games a collection.
Yeah,
so.
If you take, so, like, I think if you buy all of them, it's, like, $150 or something like that.
For the last, if you want Kingdom Hearts, I think it's, what, three? Or, like, the DLC or whatever and all
might
that?
Might be, like, $150 total for all the games. Mm-hmm. I get that it's pricey. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say, like, oh, it's cheap, but I know that it's pricey. But, I mean, if you just kind of take a look at, like, the games, like, the amount of games you're getting and then, like, divide it by the amount of how, like, money you're paying, then it's, like, it's just, like, X amount of dollars per hour or whatever. I get that they're old, though. Like, I get that the games are old. But, I mean, to be, like, honest, like, if you were to buy that collection on PS4,
it's not gonna be any cheaper. They have a sale. There is one thing that they do have. It's the all-in-one collection. That's the one I'm surprised they didn't offer, and that's the one that is cheaper. It comes, I think it comes with everything, including Kingdom Hearts 3.
Minus the DLC.
DLC, and that's for $100. I think it's $99.99
it's like
or something.
$100. Yeah.
So that's why I was confused. I was like, I would assume that they would do that one, since this is a way to get, you know, I think most people would do that instead of messing around with buying it in three different sections. I mean, you're still, yeah.
What about you? Is it too pricey? Do you think they should have lowered the price to, because it technically all the game came out like 20 years ago or like what? What do you think?
I mean, I'm gonna write this down. It's too pricey. Yeah. Most people are gonna pick it up on sale, so just go ahead and put it put it at that sale price. I think most people will end up buying it for maybe what, 35, 40? I could say 40. I'll even go 40. $40
for the full collection
for like, was it 1.2? Like the first the two main Siri games.
Okay.
Like the first collection and the second collection.
So $20 a pop for both those two collections.
$40 a pop for both.
$80 for 1.5 and 2.5, and then another $40 for 3?
And then 3, I think if they want to do 3 and include the DLC and all that stuff,
like
I'm okay with 60.
So for the full collection, you would pay $140.
Did I get that right? It's like 40.
40, 80. Isn't that what it's priced? That's already what it's priced. That's the price. Yeah.
Okay. What the heck?
You agree with them.
So then I should take it. Okay. So I guess I need to put it on sale then. I guess I agree with them in that sense. They could put it on. I'm going to buy it on sale. So
let me double check. I'm going to go on the store right now and I'm going to double check the price. I was ballparking it. So
are they $59.99 or are they 40? Like what? How much?
Okay, so I'm on the Epic Game Store right now. So Kingdom Hearts 3 and Remind, they're packaging it together, is 80 CAD. So that should be 60 USD. So that's right on the money.
Okay.
As to what you said. And then where's the other Kingdom Hearts games? God, Epic Game Store. God damn
it. It's so hard. Epic needs to fix the search functionality of their store.
Here we go. So 1.5 and 2.5. Mm-hmm. Which is like in one collection, that's 65 CAD. Okay. So that's like what, 50 USD or something? So it's a little bit more than what you priced it at.
Okay.
And then 2.8 Final Chapter Prologue, whatever, dude, is...
it's worse than Nier titling here.
is 80 CAD, so that's, again, that's 60 USD, I think. So it is, again, a little more than what you priced it at. Kind of, because like we're talking 1.5 and 2.5 is one collection right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2.8 is... the other shit and the whatever the prologue it is. So
it's just, I think they started getting messed up towards the end. Like Kingdom Hearts 3 should have just been 3. There should not be a prologue. There shouldn't be any of that. It should just be Kingdom Hearts 3, and the prologue is part of the game, like the base game itself, and whatever epilogue they had planned, that should have been part of the base game, and that should have been it. And then
let me calculate this for you. So all the games, I'm not counting Melody of Memory, which is also coming out on PC,
which is also canon,
right? It is. So
which is canon.
it's 225 CAD, and then if I put that in USD, that's going to be $177. So it's about $30 more expensive than what you said was acceptable.
Yeah, I'm looking at them now on the Epic Store as well. And so it's for the first batch, it's $49.99. Then it's $59.99 for the rest of them. And
right.
They're all, especially 2.8, whatever that collection, All those games feel older than, I mean, those are on DS.
Sure. So basically, you kind of agree with the pricing, but you feel like it could be a tiny bit cheaper, right?
I'd say at least $10 cheaper. And right. If, you know, it just makes it hard to kind of, for people who may want to get into the series or may want to pick up one of these, because you can't just, I don't think you can pick up one, right? It's kind of weird because you pick up one and you end up picking up four different games, right?
You kind of get all of them. Do you think they should have gone with Persona pricing when they put P4G on Steam? That was like 25 CAD. That was like 20 USD. Do you think they should have gone that route?
That would have been, that it was sold a bunch.
Yeah, that was, I was sold like day, like when P4G hit Steam, I remember I rolled out of bed, bought it, and went back to sleep. Yeah, I rolled out of bed, bought it, went back to sleep.
I mean, they knew exactly what to do for it, and it paid off. I think Square, if they really wanted to, I would say 30. You know what? 30. 30 would have been a great price
for the first pack.
1.5, and if they 2.5. Wanted to do 40, you know what? Both of those series are about, they're not that far apart. 30. And then hit Kingdom Hearts 3 for full price if you want to.
Get for it on 60, disc, including for DLC. 60,
including the DLC. I'd be fine with that.
120 USD, you think, would have been the sweet spot.
Yeah. The only way to really get around this is to have an all-in-one collection. Is to have that all-in-one collection that bundles them.
For 100 bucks.
But for 100 bucks or something. That's the only way I can see getting around it. I don't know why they didn't do that either, but hey.
Well, I don't know. So I think what surprised me a tiny bit was that it's exclusive to the Epic Game Store. Because Square has a really good relationship with Steam already. I'm not saying the games are exclusive on Steam, but we have Dragon Quest XI S, we have Final Fantasy 15, we have Final Fantasy, all of them basically, like on Steam.
That's true. There's actually you know what? Let me look up on Epic. I don't think there's a lot of
Final Fantasy
Square
games.
Enix games. I don't, or any at all.
Yeah, and we're getting near Replicant. Yeah, we're getting near Replicant on Steam as well. So, I mean, Square obviously has a pretty good relationship with Steam as a storefront. I mean, their games are on Windows Game Store as well. But I was a little bit surprised to hear that it was exclusive to the Epic Game Store.
Yeah, all they have so far, at least you know from where I'm looking, is Outriders, which is going to be coming out in a couple weeks. Just Cause 2, and then Dragon Quest 11S.
Yeah.
Me and my Roman noodles, numero unos.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all they had. So this is, it's big, but I don't know why they wouldn't just start putting the Final Fantasies on there either. Just filling it out.
Yeah, I got to know if Epic came to Square and was like, we will pay you X amount of dollars for you to have this on Epic Game Store for a full year.
Well, you know what would have been really cool? You know, Epic is doing this thing where they give away one free game a week, right?
You think Kingdom Hearts might eventually be on that?
Later on, who knows? Maybe for like a Christmas deal, they might. But I was saying, like, if they just did the first game in the series, like the first pack, that would have been huge for free. That would have been huge.
And then you got to pay for 2.8.
And then you pay for 2.8 and the rest of them. I think that would have been amazing. I think people would have bit that. And you get that you get the starting point. I don't think it's not costing them anything. You're just getting people into the series.
Yeah, I want to know what percentage of people are going to buy what percentage of people are going to buy only 1.5, 2.5 and not buy the rest? Or how many people are going to buy only 3 and not buy the rest? Or what? Like, where did these sales kind of break down? Because the thing of 1.5 and 2.5, I know it includes a bunch of other material as well, but those games are the oldest. Those games came out on PS2. Mm-hmm. So you have a pretty good chance that a lot of gamers now who are adults and are gaming on PC probably play those games as kids on PS2.
Mm-hmm.
So are they going to buy those games again for nostalgia reasons or what? Or are they going to go be like, oh, I want to just go to 3. Like, I haven't played that one yet. So
I think because I'm coming from that angle where I played them when I was growing up, and I only made it till like half of the series. Because I didn't play Birth by Sleep. Right. And I didn't have a DS to do like Dream Drop Distance and 358/2. So those are the two that I haven't played. And then like from there, I think it's 3, right? It's 3 and whatever the prologue stuff and things like that. So for me, I would end up getting all of them just because I need to refresh my memory. That story is, and we talked about it on the podcast.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
It makes no, I don't know. Why do people have black hoods on? What are they doing? Why are there 13
of
them?
That's like the plot of two. You didn't get very far, apparently.
Because, like, the rest of it, it's like it retracts so much ground. Like, the thing about the Kingdom Hearts series is that it does not progress in terms of where you're going. There's a lot of, oh, they couldn't do this level. They couldn't get rights to this type of, you know, there's from Disney, right? So you're going back to like the Lion King world for like four games, and you're like, well,
yeah, you know,
I don't remember
crazy?
The difference.
The part, I think it's three where you go, it's three where you go to Pirates of the Caribbean, mm-hmm. and all the characters are like lifelike, like it's just Johnny
Depp.
It's weird.
Yeah,
but then in the background, it's just Donald Duck, and you're like, wait, what is happening? Like, what? I'm high right now, obviously. Like, this Donald. Is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, Donald would probably be, he's always, Donald's the best, you know, Donald's the best. Oh man!
Yeah, Kingdom Hearts.
Hearts.
I'm not gonna stream it. But
one of my members was like, "You should stream all of them." You know,
I would say don't.
I'm tempted to do them all because I do want to. I want to get caught up. I don't want to like continue after it. Like after I finish three prologue or whatever epilogue whatnot. Yep. I'll do the memory, the little melody of memories thing, and I'll be like, "Hey, I'm done with Kingdom Hearts."
You actually gonna do it? You gonna do like a Kingdom Hearts?
How long would it take to do all those games?
That's a crap ton
of games because they're all action RPGs. It's like 20 hours.
You stream like more than I do. You would probably be able to get through the whole series, and I want to say you could get through the whole series in about 3 months if you're like really dedicated and you're streaming like off fairly often, like four or five days a week. Yeah.
So I'll be like, he really liked Kingdom Hearts. It's like I need a break.
Yeah.
commitments. So
yeah, I'm gonna say don't, but you know, that's up to you.
There's so many other games that I want to play too, so
yeah, I know
there's got to be a way to work it in.
I mean, yeah, somehow. Just stream more often.
I can't stream any more often.
It's like either daily streams.
It'll be like, all right, everybody, now after you've listened to this podcast, now go ahead
don't
and hop into the stream.
Come catch me on stream.
It's like it never stopped.
Yeah.
So we've actually gone a pretty good amount of time. We're on like 46 minutes. We didn't even get to the news, and I'm okay with that.
Just do lightning round. We'll just say the news, give our opinion, move on to the next topic.
Okay. So things that have happened. Ding ding ding. I couldn't spell gaming news correctly. Gaming news. There we go. There was the, if you haven't looked at it now, you can definitely go check it out. And we do get our news from Game Informer, Kotaku, Polygon, all those wonderful sites, Games Radar, plus, you know, go support.
Yeah. Yep. So the Nier trailer looks really good. What's your opinion?
For Nier Replicant, it's like a 9-minute gameplay trailer, basically. It looks good. It reminded me, though, because for some reason in my mind, I didn't remember that this game was a remaster.
Remake. Yeah.
Wait, is it a remake? Remaster? I hate those terms. It's just like HD up, right? It's re-HD'd.
At this point, I think it's more closer to a remake because I think it's the new engine, maybe. They're doing a huge graphical overhaul. I think they're changing the combat, if I'm not mistaken. The combat is
more up to date. It feels more like a Nier Automata. But when you look at these textures, unless this is just
Hold
part
on,
of
I
the
think
art
there's
style,
an earthquake. There's an earthquake. Right? There's an earthquake right now.
Alex, you're freaking me out. I can feel it, but I can't tell if I'm just imagining feeling it right now.
No, it's an earthquake.
It's like really small for me.
It's Give me a moment. Sorry.
Are we sure it's shaking? Because it's like, I can't tell.
No, I'm like 100% sure. Anyways, keep talking, yeah.
Oh, well, chat, this is what... So, when listening, this is what we kind of go through every once in a while. And we'll be getting this throughout the next week. But, Nier, so the textures aren't really too much different. That's why it hit me. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
But it looks really good. What's up? You just missed a Kingdom Hearts talk. But so so I think it looks good. I'm gonna fast forward to the combat really quickly because I think that's where a lot of stuff comes through. Did you end up playing Nier Replicant the first time?
No, I missed out. I wasn't too what's the word? I saw it. I'm like, eh, it looks all right. But I didn't really get into Decisions of Automata because people were pimping the shit out of Automata. And then I was like, okay, I'll play it. And then I played Automata and I'm like, whoa, this game's so good.
Yeah. I mean, I like how at least now the combat, I don't know what it was back then, but it looks, you know, kind of similar to what we've experienced in Nier Automata, and then plus whatever it was back then. So it's a real nice little update, and I think they're going to get everyone, of course, who played Automata. Everyone's going to come back and play this.
So yeah, magnitude 5.3, Fukushima, great. Yeah.
Oh, he has confirmed it.
Yeah,
Yaha has also confirmed it as well. I felt that earthquake too.
Yeah, magnitude 5.3.
Everyone felt it but me.
Yeah.
I was just like, what? It happened? It happened, though. It happened.
I mean, literally, yeah. I mean, I'm looking at the report right now. So, yeah, it's right by, it was by Fukushima again.
The official report. And yeah. I hope nothing, you know, I hope everything's okay up there. But yeah, so Nier Replicant, it's coming out on I believe it's April 23rd, PS4, Xbox One, and PC. You already have yours pre-ordered?
No, I'm going to buy it on PC, so I'm just going to like buy it when it comes out. Like, why would I pre-order a digital game? Unless there's like some kind of pre-order bonus, which there's not. I just ate my words. I'm sorry. There's a pre-order bonus. Mini soundtrack, wallpaper collection.
Know you want that mini soundtrack.
I'll pre-order it probably like the day before it comes out. But yeah.
I think that's what I do now too these days.
I'll get it on PC. Yeah.
I'm getting it on PC as well. You were right. I have not ended up buying a lot of stuff on PS4 anymore. It's just all PC.
Yeah, now that you have a capable gaming PC, I think you see the benefits of just having all your games on Steam and easily streamable, right?
Let's
go check out this game or whatever. Right?
It's like, yeah, guys, I got this new game. It's stupid Kingdom Hearts. Don't do it. Don't do it. Someone redeem the points and I'll do it. But other than that... I'm going to eat my words. So next up on the news, if I can actually get this going. I don't know. Did you see this MetaHuman creator? I'm sure Yaha in the chat has seen it. The Unreal Games, this tool for designing, or not designing, but kind of making characters.
No, I didn't see this. Did I get it? Nope.
Do I have my... Wait, did I not have my... Oh, no, chat.
Accidentally shows pornography on screen. No, what?
There we go. I was looking for the trailer. I was like, I had the demo. So I'm going to zoom in on this. But it was actually pretty crazy, the technology that they've got going on here. And it'd be kind of awesome if Yaha wants to chime in on this. But it's super, super lifelike. It doesn't have to be for a lot of, you know, specifically games. It can be for anything, honestly. Yeah. That was the best scary. Teeth. Yeah. Those are the best teeth I've ever seen in digital rendition. These are the best teeth.
That looks really good.
I don't know why I'm the one focusing on teeth, but I mean, we've seen great eyes and good hair before.
You notice when they talk, you can see how the lips naturally pull around the skin.
Mm-hmm.
It looks really natural. So yeah.
Everything's really natural. Yaha is saying that most games won't be able to use it just because there's too many stylized games. And that's true. Maybe, you know, this is very much hyper realistic.
Maybe something like out of Koji Pro, maybe you might want to use this, but.
Yeah, maybe a Koji Pro. And I would honestly say Quantum Dream.
Is it Quantum Dream?
Why can't I remember their names? But yeah, Heavy Rain peeps, you know, they would be over something like this.
Sure, something like that. I feel like this is, you know, tech that Kojima might want to use in, you know, one of his games. So
I don't know why I just thought about Monica. Oh, Monica.
Yeah.
All right. Did you ever watch any X-Play? You ever watched G4?
I didn't.
You didn't watch G4?
No, I don't think we had it in Canada.
Oh, well, G4, as everyone kind of, I don't know, maybe people don't, but it's coming back. They've been talking about it for a year, and they've had some teased, some specials and different things online they've been doing. But I guess they've confirmed now that Adam Sessler and Kevin Prayer will be coming back officially to the network. And I watched a lot of X-Play back growing up as a child. And I was like, that was like my gateway to like, when they would cover things like Tokyo Game Show or E3, I'd be like, oh snap, I gotta tune into this too. But, you know, Adam Sessler's going to be coming back for X-Play, and then Kevin Pereira for Attack of the Show.
That's so funny, just dragging them out of it. Like, we don't care what you're doing with your life now. Come back for X-Play.
What do you want? Do you want this money? Do you need money?
I left that life behind. Yeah, now they're doing X-Play again. But okay.
It's like 30 years, 40 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, no, it's
years,
quite some like time. But yeah.
It's pretty big. So I think that is it. If you, there's two other things. I'm just going to chime in on these things. Go check out some of Street Fighter V's new mechanics. There is the V-Shift mechanic, which is now going to give, it's going to give characters.
Wait, why not just make Street Fighter VI at this point?
No, because Street Fighter V has to go until the end of this year. That's their DLC. I don't know why. Don't ask me, man. But you'll be able to experience V-Shift on February 22nd, along with Dan Hibiki, who's going to be in the game. And I think Rose, they showed off gameplay from Rose.
Thank God Dan's nice. Back, huh?
Yeah, Dan looks good. I mean, I think they've been doing a good job. And what this new V-Shift mechanic is going to do is going to give a lot of characters, everyone, a defensive option. So you get invincible frames. You can dodge projectiles, throws. And then you can either use that in an offensive way after that, or you can use it in kind of, you know, just get distance. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see how that shapes up for that. And then, of course, if you are into Guilty Gear Strive, if you haven't been checking out all of the cool gameplay that they've been showing off, the open beta test is going to be this weekend, I think, February 17th through the 21st, only for those who pre-order the digital version on PS4 and PS5. So definitely go check that. Are you gonna end up playing any of Strive?
You know what? I don't know. I mean, I was looking at footage, obviously, and I gotta say it looks good. Like really good. Like
good.
Really, really good. I played a lot of XX in high school, I guess, but I never jumped in on Exard and that whole series.
Okay.
I think it's because I kind of eventually fell out of favor with fighting games, because I'm the kind of person where like I want to like do well at the games that I play. So when I play shooters like Apex or whatever, I tend to get a little dedicated into the game. I don't play like at a super high level, but I try to do well in games like Apex. So like, okay, I'm going to consider my mouse grip, the mouse pad that I'm using. I'm going to work on my aim. I'm going to work on like AD strafing and all that kind of stuff, right?
Right.
So when I play a game like a fighting game, I'm kind of the same way. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get an arcade stick. I'm going to work on my frame links and my combos and all that kind of stuff. And my wake up game and my pressure game. So I try to get a little bit dedicated into like the games that I play. But fighting games are so incredibly deep that it's a bit of a rabbit hole. Once you start a fighting game and once you start playing it competitively, semi-competitively, that's the game you're playing. That's the game you're playing. And I want to just like, and you know, I think it's because I didn't want to commit to that level of gameplay that I stayed away. I stayed away from Exard just because I'm like, oh, I don't want to like, you know, fall down that hole again.
Right.
But you know, looking at footage for Strive and I'm like, damn, this looks good. Like, this looks really good. Yeah.
It's pretty good. I mean, like, all the pictures I'm showing on screen right now, these are all the character models.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing.
Yeah.
This isn't some sort of render or just art drawn. This is pretty much their models. And, like, they took it up a notch. And I like how they at least have, like, you know, characters, how easy they are to use. And it seems like they're trying to really get more people to be able to play this game by even something like putting something like, okay, this is a balanced character. This is long range. This is high speed. I love how Nagaryuki is just, like, one shot. Like, his mechanic is stupid. He literally, you have to manage this blood gauge when you're doing attacks. It fills up when you're doing specials.
It just says one shot. Yeah.
One shot, yeah. When you do your specials, it fills his blood gauge really fast. Once it hits, he pops. He literally leaving himself open, but he does damage on block. Like if you block, he is it's not chip damage. He's taking like a good 10% of your health or 15% off hits.
That's crazy. Yeah.
It's high risk, high reward characters, but it's just Guilty Gear. That's what they're known for, making good characters with lore built into them.
I think, Guilty Gear has some of the most colorful and creative characters in fighting game. They look great. And, you know, at the same time, I also wish that Arxis would come back and do A blaze blue in this kind of
a proper blaze blue. Yeah. We got a mobile one. They did a stream like literally right before us.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, like, looking at the game, looking at Strive, looking at the graphics and how the fights play out, how you can like knock characters into like different parts of different of the arena.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would love to see this in BB as well, but I don't know if BB's ever coming back. You know, the last game they did was Cross Tag Battle or whatever it is. So
which kind of has any and everyone in it, you know, kind of deal. So who knows? But, you know, like I said, this game, I believe, comes out in March or April as well. A lot of stuff coming out in that time period. Monster Hunter Rise as well. So definitely be on the lookout for it. And I'm pretty sure I might pick it up. And I know, you know, Kaitel, listener, he'll be picking it up. So maybe I'll have someone to train with. This game does have rollback netcode. So
yeah, it's pretty good. Is it GGPO or is it something else?
They did not say. They just said it's whoever helped them with the previous rollback.
I might be GGPO. I'm not sure, but yeah.
So it sounds like it's proprietary, but it's not proprietary. They didn't really say. But anyways, I guess that's going to do it for us this week. This has been episode 72. Do you have anything you want to say in closing?
I don't know. Have a great day. I don't know. Yeah, come hang out on stream. You can catch me on Tuesday, Thursday, 9 p.m. JST. It's twitch.tv/Re24. Playing RPGs right now, but who knows what we're going to be playing next. So, see you there.
All right. And then, as always, you can find myself at NinjaTrix. We're going to be playing, we're going to be finishing up Celeste and then Observer for the rest of this month. And then after that, who knows? Maybe we will do Ni No Kuni. Maybe we'll be Rabi Rabi. I don't know. But as always, you know, leave a review for the podcast on iTunes or your favorite choice of a place to listen. Leave us a review. Follow us on Twitch at, not Twitch, Twitter. Why do those two words? It's TW.
Well, yeah, also follow us on Twitch. Twitch. That's fine too, but yeah.
Oh, there we go. But no, follow us on Twitter at UGP_cast. And then, of course, leave a like on this video. Go to follow the YouTube channel at Unknown Games Podcast. There we go. Said it all. We're going to go.
Sounds good.
All right. Peace, everybody.
Hey, goodbye.
Goodbye. It's not over yet.
No?
Okay, now it's over.
All right, goodbye.